You know, I had an intro for today's show, but surfing a little bit ago, I ran across something much, much more important. If you like college basketball and all the brackets and all that, then I have one better for you. Garden and Gun Magazine has the ultimate barbecue bracket going on right now. The ultimate barbecue bracket. And hey, South Carolina has two barbecue joints in the running. We got Scott's Barbecue from down in Hemingway, South Carolina, and we got Sweatman's Barbecue from down in Holly Hill. They're up against Southern Soul Barbecue and Heirloom Market Barbecue. I don't know where they are. But anyway, if you like basketball and all that, this is, you know, barbecue is much more important than basketball. So go on. You can actually vote. If you go to Garden and Gun Magazine, you'll see it up there. You can vote once a day until 10 o'clock on Monday. And so anyway, like I said, I had an intro ready for today, but we got better things to do. We got barbecue. And on the phone with us right now for another update on defending the cup with Anthony Gagliardi, we have Anthony. How are you, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Are you already in Alabama, or are you still on the road?
I'm still on the road. I'm about in the middle of Atlanta right now, so I still got a little ways to go, but we're making it.
How's Atlanta traffic today?
It's been a little trafficy today. They got a lot of road construction around here. I guess they wait till Saturday to do some of this stuff, but we're about out of it, I think.
I got you. Well, hey, you finally got to quit talking about it and fish at Toho, right?
I did, yeah. I was looking forward to it, and it didn't work out quite the way I had envisioned, but it was still nice to be able to get out of the house and get back onto the tournament scene and at least get my feet wet, and I'm ready for the next one now. We didn't have too long between the last one and Smith Lake, so I gotta put that one behind me and, you know, hope to regroup and have a good tournament here next week.
I watched parts of the weigh-in the first couple of days while you were there. It looks like a lot of people were catching small, I guess, the bucks off the beds. You had one really nice fish. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, I did, and that's kind of the story down there. A lot of the times you just catch a lot of small fish, and all of a sudden you come across, you know, a great big one like that one that makes the difference between the, you know, a 6 or 7 or 8 pound bag and a 15 pound bag like I had the first day.
Right.
And I caught that one in the middle of, you know, just catching those, you know, pound and a half fish, and it probably was on the bed. I was fishing in a little bit deeper water. You couldn't see the bottom, but I'm fairly certain she was probably on the bed. I caught her on a weighted fluke, just fishing a dark June bug fluke, fishing it slow, dead sticking is what we call it. But, you know, just you set the hook on a lot of pounders, and all of a sudden you set the hook, and it's a great big giant one like that. And actually, I had another one on the second day. I had one on almost just as big. It was probably an 8 pounder.
Wow.
But that one came off, and that one, just one fish like that, it was the difference probably in making the cut or finishing real close to making the cut and then finishing where I did. So that's the story, and that's how it is down there. You almost always have to have a big one, you know, to give you a good, you know, decent bag. And I had that chance the second day. I just didn't capitalize on it.
I looked a little bit at Lake Tahoe. Is it really just one patch of grass or some kind of vegetation after another one?
It's not like Okeechobee from the standpoint where there might be miles of water back in behind the first hard line of grass, usually it's cattails. You know, pretty much, you can see everything that you might want to fish when you're there, but there is shoreline grass all the way around the whole, you know, perimeter of the lake. And the same thing goes for down at Kissimmee also, and that's where a lot of guys were catching fish. Down on Kissimmee, they were locking through. But it's full of grass. You know, there's a lot of, you know, in places there's more submerging grass like hydrilla than there is in other places. But pretty much around the whole shoreline, there's at least some type of vegetation that you could fish. And all of it is potentially good. You know, at Okeechobee, you know, there's a lot of times there's like 5 or 6 areas, key areas on the lake that are better than all the rest. But at Toho and Kissimmee, it fishes more like a normal lake, and you're apt to catch fish anywhere pretty much around the whole entire perimeter of any of those lakes.
Now, did you lock down to some of the other lakes, or did you pretty much stay in one spot?
I stayed the tournament and stayed in Toho. I did practice the first day down at Kissimmee and caught a few fish, but just really didn't like what I had seen. And, you know, at the end of the practice, after spending time on Toho, I just felt like I was better suited to stay there and make more use of my time. Yeah, and I definitely had more time to fish. And I knew I had a chance to catch a big one. I caught a couple of big ones in practice up there. And I just kind of knew going into this thing that's what it was going to take. And I was going to have to probably catch one big one each day in order to compete. And like I said, I had the bias to do that. So, you know, from that standpoint, I can't be too disappointed, but certainly disappointed I didn't catch that one that second day.
Well, you knocked the rust off of the off season, got in a tournament, now you're headed to Lewis Smith. What's it like? Do you have any history on it?
A little bit. Yeah, I've done fairly well there. I think we've been two or three times, and I made the last time we were here, I made the cut. I think I might finish eighth or ninth. The time before that, I think I caught big bass. I've had a little bit of, you know, luck here. It's a deep, clear lake. You know, it's a deep, clear lake. There's a lot of spotted bass in it. Not a lot of really big fish, but there's, you know, it's a good fishery, and you go out there, and when the fish are biting, you can catch a lot of fish. So I'm looking forward to that. I always like going to spotted bass lakes, and it looks like the weather should be pretty good, and we might get a little bit of rain in practice, but yeah, it's been warm, much like it has been at home over the past couple of weeks. I think the fish are probably up, getting ready to spawn. I doubt they'll be quite there yet, but they should be getting ready, and a lot of those bigger spots should be up feeding, I would imagine.
Very good. What's your schedule like this week? I mean, what do y'all get to practice? Tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday?
That's right. Practice starts tomorrow. We get 3 days. We'll have an off-limits day on Wednesday that gives us time to get all our stuff in order, re-spool and retie, and, you know, formulate a game plan. We'll have our meeting and all that. So, yeah, first thing in the morning, that's when it'll start. You know, hopefully I can put something together pretty quick, and then, you know, have a couple of days after tomorrow to kind of look for more things that I think I might be able to catch fish doing. So I'm looking forward to a fast start in this one.
Okay. Well, I will catch track of you now. Now, people can go to the FLW website and keep track of midday updates, watch live weigh-ins. You wearing your gray level jersey?
For sure, yeah, I am, definitely. Yeah, and they can do that. They do give, you know, the Dawn of Water coverage has actually gotten really good over the last couple of years. So, you know, you can actually keep up with it. And they do have a new rule in state of it. If our amateur partners, if our co-anglers are willing, that they're allowed to, you know, take a picture, you know, post something on Facebook about, you know, what we have or what we just caught. If we caught a big one, you know, they can put that on Facebook, but it's up to the co-angler whether or not they want to take the time to do that or not. But, you know, FLW has done a good job, you know, trying to put together, you know, a plan that they can give some good on-the-water updates and keep you abreast of what's going on. I mean, it's not like a race where you can sit in the stands and watch what everybody's doing at any given time. So, fishing just in general is hard to do that. So, I mean, these on-the-water updates at least give people a little bit of insight during the day of how things are going.
Originally, I was planning on being over at, I had a friend that lived in California who's got an uncle that's got a place over on in Jasper, and I was planning on being there, but that's not quite going to happen. But I'll keep up with you on the weigh-ins during the day. I hope you do really well. Your blonde-haired, blue-eyed number one fan at my house will be watching.
Tell her I said hello.
I will, and thanks for answering the question for the other day. Really, I hope you do well. I'll touch base with you afterwards, maybe touch base with you during, and look forward to the next segment with you.
Sounds good. Look forward to it also.
Take care, Anthony.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Anthony Gagliardi defending the cup. You know, he's running for cup number two. Nobody has ever won the cup twice in a row. He's been good enough to agree to come on and give us some updates. Last Saturday, he was trying to call in, but he was at his daughter's dance competition and couldn't make it, and I understand that. As a father, I've been to plenty of those dance competitions. But, you know, I'm doing these and for a couple of reasons. I want you to kind of meet him, so to speak. He's a really nice guy, just like his rod say level. He's just a really nice guy. Winning the cup hasn't changed him at all. It's a lot of money. A lot of it could go to people's heads, but it hasn't, Anthony. So I want you to kind of get to know him, because you're going to see him around if you travel in these bass circuits, if you are at any of the events the FLW puts on. He's just a really nice guy. I hope you feel like you can go up to him and talk to him. And also, you know, follow him. The weigh-ins start Thursdays, or Friday, I'm sorry. And go to him and watch the weigh-in. You can keep track of how much he's got from day to day. And maybe you learn something about bass fishing. And we were talking about the small fish. If you don't bass fish much, you know, when these big females go up to bed, they've always got a male bass with them. And the male's usually, you know, pound and a half, 2 pounds. And he's the first one. He's the one that's easy to catch. You could flip out pretty much anything out there and catch him because he's defending that bed. Those females are a little harder to do. And that's why you got to get those little ones out of the way, and the females may or may not bite. And you may spend an hour on one fish and never catch her. So, but anyway, that's why I hope you're doing these. While I'm doing these segments, I hope you enjoy them. And like I said, we're shooting towards High Rock Lake in August. Hot Springs, Arkansas, in August, where we'll be there, riding around the water, watching Anthony hopefully win number two. And we're going to leave bass fishing and go straight over to summer camps. We've had Camp Wildwood on with Dan and those here in the studio. We're hoping to have Bo in the studio today. He couldn't make it to Greenville, but he's good enough to call in. Bo Mongo with Clemson YLI Camps. How are you doing today?
Doing good, Roger. How are you?
I am doing great. Well, I tell you, you look outside and you think, yes, sir, the weather is right. All the kids are restless. It's time to start thinking about summer camps.
Yes, sir, it is. We have been thinking about it for a while now, so we are in full force.
And are you ready for them?
We are. We are. We have, we start the summer camp prep process probably January 1st of every year. So we kind of get going then, and that's when we start well before then, but that's kind of when all of our marketing materials are out and everything, schedules are finalized and staffing patterns are created. So that's kind of where we're at.
Well, I hate I missed you at Seawee. I know I was in kind of out kind of quick, and you were a little later coming in than I was coming out. But I'll be down at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic. I assume y'all will have a booth there?
We will. Our of course, that's a big event for us to promote our shooting sports camp, and so we Camp Wildlife, so we'll have a booth there, and Camp Wildlife camp director will be there, and some of our marketing folks will be there as well. So that's always a good time down there in Columbia.
Are you going to be there this year?
I will probably not be there.
Okay.
I think that we will be I will be actually running another program at our headquarters at that time.
Well, one of these days I am going to meet you. I promise.
That's right.
Well, give us a little background on the Youth Learning Institute camps.
Sure. The Youth Learning Institute is an institute within Clemson University. Clemson has several institutes within it, which are basically the equivalent to colleges. And we are an institute that exists to create and develop experiences in positive youth development. And so we have five camps across the state that we operate. We have some other centers as well that we operate.
Right.
And so, you know, we believe that experiences in nature are essential. We believe that all children can learn and that they just learn differently. We believe that children learn best when all of their senses are engaged. So that's why you see us out, you know, in the salt marsh, and you see us, you know, at the shooting ranges, and you know, we also believe that youth development involves more than just engaging the brain. So we try to engage senses, and we try to engage experiences, and then we also believe that children deserve to have fun.
Of course.
So what better way to learn and grow than to experience stuff and have fun while you're doing it. So those are kind of the things that we engage. Those are kind of the reasons why we exist.
Well, you mentioned salt marsh, and that's pretty much the first camp. If you go to the YLICamps.com, that's pretty much the first one that pops up on the left hand side. That's Camp Seawee. Tell us about Camp Seawee.
Camp Seawee is a marine science camp that is in Allendale, South Carolina, just north of Charleston, just north of Mount Pleasant. And we are on the Intracoastal Waterway with a dock and a boat ramp there. And so we take kids out to barrier islands, and we explore salt marshes, and we teach kids how to go crabbing and cast netting, and we teach kids how to develop research and you know, following scientific methods. We also take them to the aquarium and the water park, and take them to the Seaweed Shell Ring, which is a late archaic Native American site. So a lot of history in that area as well. That Allendorf is, if folks haven't been there, that's one of the most special places in our state. It's right tucked in the middle of the Francis Marion National Forest, which is 200,000 acres, and then the Cape Romaine National Wildlife Refuge, which is one of the most pristine ecosystems all up and down the east coast of this country. So, right there, those barrier islands, Bulls Bay, Bulls Island, Papers Island, that's where we spend that camp and expose kids to one of the most amazing areas of this whole country.
And those camps start probably the first full week of June. Looks like they run through the first full week of August.
That's right. That's right. Each one of them, we run 9 weeks of camp at Camp Seaweed. And so we, they are all Sunday to Friday. So drop your kids off on Sunday and pick them up on Friday, and we'll take care of them.
And take care of them well.
That's right.
Next up, we've got Camp Voyager.
Well, and Camp Voyager is on the other end of the state, so that's in Pickens, South
Sunset,
Carolina.
Sunset, right?
Camp Voyager is actually in Pickens. Adventure Camp's up in Sunset.
That's it, okay.
But Camp Voyager is in Pickens, and that is our headquarters. And so Camp Voyager is basically a blend of technology, science, and outdoors, adventure. And so, a lot of kids are very much into Lego robotics,
yes,
or computer games or video games, and so we'll do all those things at Camp Voyager because the kids love it. But we'll also let them do a high ropes course, and they'll go to Camp Hannon for one day and actually do a hike up to a waterfall. And so it's kind of a blend of they get to ride go karts and shoot paintball markers and paintball guns. So kind of a blend of your technology indoor stuff as well as the out of doors.
It sounds like even if you like to play computer games, you can still have fun getting outdoors at camp.
That's exactly right.
Next up, we got Camp Wildlife.
And, probably your listeners are probably most would relate very closely to Camp Wildlife. Camp Wildlife is our shooting sports camp.
That's it.
And so that takes place at Camp Bob Cooper. This year, we actually have kind of upped the ante a little bit. And so we've got Camp Wildlife Standard Camp. We've got Camp Wildlife Intermediate Camp. And then we've got Camp Wildlife Advanced Camp. So the basic camps, the basic wildlife camp is going to take place at Camp Bob Cooper. And it's going to involve shooting sports.
Okay.
It's going to involve archery. It's going to involve sporting clays, ATV safety, DNR, or hunter education. And so all of those things. And then for the intermediate track, we'll actually spend one day, and we'll ride down to Hemingway and go to the Backwoods Quail Club.
Oh, yeah.
Which is obviously a wonderful
place.
Opportunity for those kids. That's right. And
yes,
then advanced camp takes place the entire week at Backwoods Quail Club.
Really?
That's right.
Wow. Now, how did that all come about?
Well, we actually did this 2 years ago. We've got a relationship with Rick Hemingway down there at Backwoods Quail Club. And so the shooting sports, hunter education, is very important in South Carolina for
right.
kids. So it's a very, this better than
yes.
anybody else. It's a growing industry.
Yes,
so,
it is.
The way we can grow Camp Wildlife is we thought we needed to offer some unique opportunities. So that's why we invented intermediate and advanced camp for Camp Wildlife.
Wow. Now that is a twist, a good twist.
That's right.
Now, when does Camp Wildlife take place?
Camp Wildlife is the same basically all summer long.
Okay.
We've got basically the month of June is going to be your standard camp
right.
week at Camp Bob Cooper, and then the month of July is when we'll spend going to intermediate camp and then advanced camp down to Backwoods Quail Club. So all of this is on the website, of course, and very well spelled out at wildeyecamps.com.
Now, do you have to – is it a progressive camp, or can do you have to go to standard first, or can you go to intermediate first?
Well, it is. I mean, I think the idea, obviously, is to progress through them.
Okay.
If there's extenuating circumstances, you know, a lot of 14 – you know, really, if you're old enough, then I think that it's okay to jump right into, you know, jump right into advanced camp. But yeah, I think that the general progression is that you would go to standard camp, and then, you know, it gives those kids a reason to come back to intermediate camp and something to look forward to the following year after that as well. So, but you know, it is, you know, that certainly it is acceptable for, you know, kids to go straight to intermediate camp if they're, you know, the correct age and if they have the skills. Advanced camp is 12 to 16.
Okay.
So it's 8 to 16 for standard camp, 10 to 16 for intermediate camp, and then 12 to 16 for advanced camp. So you can see the progression.
Gotcha. Yeah, I see the progression. That's a new twist, and I like that one myself. Next up, you got Camp Adventure.
Adventure Camp is that is in Sunset, South Carolina. That's the one.
And you can see that entrance right off of, what is it, 176?
178. Yep, 178. Headed up from Table Rock up the mountain there towards North Carolina.
And, right. It
is right there in the beautiful. You know, this is another one of those camps. I talked about Allendale.
Right.
Being a special place.
Right.
This is one of those places that's very, very special. The Joe Cassie Gorges area is just one of those special places that our state has prioritized to, you know, as a great place to preserve. And we are all so thankful they did. Sunset or Camp Hannon is tucked right in the middle of the Joe Cassie Gorges area. So there's a 65-foot waterfall on camp, and they're in the valley in between, in between some hills, and it's just one of those picturesque settings. You know, those kids will use Camp Hannon as base camp,
right,
and they'll actually head out and explore the entire area. So they'll go rock climbing, and they'll go whitewater rafting, and they'll go hiking, and they'll go biking, and they'll camp out a couple nights, and all those outdoor experiences. And so that's a wonderful camp for anybody who is into the outdoors for sure.
Last but not least, and we got about 2 minutes here. We're gonna have a break, and I want you to hang on through the break because I want you to talk about the staff and all. But the last camp you got is a 4-H camp, which is pretty much what was around when we were kids, correct?
That's right. That's your traditional summer camp. That's, you know, been around for 50 years or more, and that camp is you're going to do a lot of swimming and arts and crafts and high rope courses and low rope courses and climbing wall. And, you know, that's just your typical summer camp where you spend a lot of time on the waterfront. We got the blog at Camp Bob Cooper. We got the water slide. And those are really the things, you know, canoeing and those types of things. That's your traditional summer camp for anybody who's just looking to go make friends this summer.
And right there on the front page says since 1934.
That's right.
All right. Well, we got about a minute. Can you hang on? I'm going to fill up the minute, and then when we come back, I want you to talk about the staff and the facilities and how much, you know, because a lot of parents out there think, I don't know if I can let my kid go to a camp where they're going to be this involved and all. And I want you to kind of allay those fears. Can you hold on for a little bit and let us get through this break?
Yes, sir.
All right. I appreciate it. Well, there you got it. You got five camps. You got Seawee on the Coast, Voyager, which is your tech camp that kind of melds some outdoor activities. You got Camp Wildlife, which is your shooting sports, Camp Adventure up in the mountains where you're going to go adventuring. And then you got your 4-H camp, which is what, you know, if I'm 47, if you went to summer camp in the 70s and 80s, this is where you went. So hang on through the break. I want you to get a good picture of the staff that you're going to be dealing with when you do let your young ones go to summer camp. They're going to be well taken care of. So hang on through the break, and we'll be back on the other side. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Kind of a jumbled up show today because we've got some great guests on. And the guest we have on is Bo Mongold from Clemson's Youth Learning Institute camps. Bo, I appreciate you holding on through the break.
Of course.
And we've been through the camps, but I want you to take a little bit of time and talk about, you know, the facilities, the staff, and that sort of thing. Because a lot of parents out there worry about, especially taking them all the way down to Albandaw or taking them up to the mountains where they're going to be doing all this stuff. They're well supervised. Take a few minutes and tell us about the structure of your camps.
Well, I appreciate you asking those questions. You know, these days we raise our children a little bit differently than we used to. I know that I'm from your generation.
Yes, sir.
So I came home from school. I had to do my homework before I could go do anything else. And as soon as I finished that homework, man, I was gone. And I was in the neighborhood riding bikes and just gone for, you know, just gone for hours and hours. And, you know, your parents didn't necessarily know where you were. It's not like that now, and we understand that. And so, you know, but that's why there are organizations that exist like Clemson's Pre-Collegiate Programs Office, who has taken on themselves to regulate how every youth activity, youth camp outside of, school and classes, you know, they have standards. And so they developed, I actually helped Clemson develop an office that regulates, you know, the standards and the level of supervision, staff to kid ratios, and it all meets or exceeds the American Camping Association standards.
Okay.
And so all of our camps follow ACA guidelines, and we all of our camps go through an approval process every year through the Office of PCPO, Pre-Collegiate Programs Office.
Okay.
And so, in fact, I just, you know, we do it about January. We sit down and we go through the checklist, and it's anywhere from, you know, what are the age of the staff that you're hiring, what are your ratios going to be, and so you get that approval letter, and so that's kind of where it begins from.
Okay.
Standardizing from a standard standpoint. Our staff go through over 90 hours of training every summer, and so we go through a 4 to 6 hour child abuse and neglect prevention training.
Okay.
We go through positive youth development training. We go through needs of campers. We go through age-appropriate activities. We go through, you know, all of the stuff that our counselors need to know to work with eight-year-olds, anywhere from six-year-olds all the way up to 16. So we have a very wide span, and we don't just tell them this is what you need to do. We tell them, hey, for your 6, 7, and 8 year olds, this is kind of how you have to do it. And
okay.
For your 16 year olds, you got to do it a little bit differently.
Right.
So we kind of go through that process. We run all of our camps are going to be at a minimum of a 1-5 ratio and a maximum of about a 1-10 ratio, just depending on age and the population.
Right.
So,
okay.
Your ratios are different based on the age of the kids, based on if they're you know, the population of the kids, there's all different ratios, and so we are very attuned to those and follow those. We supervise kids 24 hours a day, and so it's 24 hours a day, and it's all the time, and we stay within sight and sound supervision of those kiddos. And so that's kind of those are the guidelines that you know, just at the very basic level that
right.
you have to follow.
Right. And I'm assuming for these camps where you go rock climbing, all the counselors and the people you have in those facilities, they're not greenhorns. They are well educated, well experienced in the activities they're doing.
That's right. We train each camp. So you've basically got 2 weeks of training. First, it starts with hiring. You always, you know, you're hiring folks. They go through an intensive screening process, and so you run background checks on all of them, and we don't allow anybody to work at camp that hasn't had a background check run.
Okay.
And returned favorably, of
right.
course. And then they go through 1 week of training, which is what I just spoke of, and then the next week of training is all that program-specific training. So you hire folks with rock climbing experience, then you train them up in all the policies and procedure stuff for a week, and then you spend the next week training them up on how we are going to do rock climbing and you know, the safety aspects of whitewater rafting. And all of our directors at the camps have the certifications that they need. So our adventure camp director is, you know, has a Swiftwater Rescue certification.
Gotcha.
He's been climbing for years and years. Our folks down in Allendale, when they do a lot of kayaking, they all have been through you know, kayak instructor classes. So they are, you know, certified instructor or certified kayak instructors for, you know, level one for kiddos. And so, you know, you go through that process. It's tough because attrition in seasonal work, there's a lot of attrition.
Okay.
But you hang on to your camp directors and your assistant directors and your coordinators, and they really are the ones who keep it going throughout the years. So
very good. Very good. What give us a couple of websites, maybe a phone number in case parents out there want to check them out. And by the way, the websites are great. They really pop with all the pictures. So parents, if you're out there, listen to these websites. And when you look at some of these pictures, you're going to want to sign yourself up.
You can visit all of our camps by going to simply typing in YLICamp.com. And once again, that's YLICamp.com. And when you reach that website, you will then be forced to select, you know, one of the five camps on the webpage there. That is the best way. Our registration is all online.
Okay.
And if you want to call, then you can call as well. So the phone number to our headquarters is 864-878-1041. And so if you want to call, that's it, 878-1041, area code 864. And if you want to email and ask a question, you can send us an email at ylicamp@clemson.edu. And just, you can ask whatever question you want. So that's ylicamp@clemson.edu.
Great.
And we look forward to a great summer this summer.
Yes, so. Sir. And I want to thank you for coming on, taking part of your Saturday to be on the show and give it all this information. And you know, it's like I said in the email, you know, if one kid signs up for one camp, it was all worth it.
That's right. Well, Roger, I appreciate it. And, you know, like I said, we are, while I exist for one reason, and that's to deliver excellent experiences in youth development. And so I hope that some of you guys out there that are listening will be willing to check it out and give camp a try this summer. I know that when I went to camp, it was awesome. And now I do it for a living. So. it's pretty good.
Well, good. Well, listen, I appreciate it. And we will hook up one of these days and put names with voices. How's that?
Sounds good, Roger. I appreciate it, man.
Take care, Bo.
All right, bud.
Bye. All right, parents, now it's up to you. I've given you Camp Wildwood, which is DNR's camp. Giving you the YLI camps. We are going to be talking to Glendale Outdoor Leadership School a little bit later on. They run day camps over here near Spartanburg. But these are not the only camps. There are other camps out across South Carolina, other good camps. You know, there are Boy Scout camps. There are a variety of camps. If you go Google South Carolina camps, it comes up with a list. These are just a couple of the ones that are associated with the woods and water. So to speak, you know, they're outdoor. They're getting out there, getting dirty, getting your hands in things, experiencing it, coming back more knowledgeable than when you left home. And yes, it's kind of hard to turn loose of those kids. Luckily, you know, my oldest daughter, yeah, she went to Camp Marietta a couple of times and that was cool. It was right there. Now she's, you know, fixing to head off to college this fall. So I didn't have that real kid who was just bouncing off the walls ready to go to camp. Now my younger one, now I'll deal with that one here in a couple of years, I'm sure, because any of these camps, and you know your kids, they're ready for them. But even if you don't think they are, give it a try. You know, it's a week. There's tons of other kids. Counselors keep them involved. Look, they're going to be so busy during the day, having so much fun. Yeah, they might miss you at night, but they're so tired at night, they're going to go straight to bed and to sleep. And I think this is a very important part of growing up, is going to all these summer camps. Now, you know, now you just got to push them into doing it. And I'm sorry for the chopped up show today, but like I said, it's just, we just had some really good stuff to go over. I'm going to get to the calendar of events next segment. Last week when I was on, I read you a little tidbit from Dr. Scott Sampson, who's got a book coming out called Raising Kids Wild. And he had one tip in there. He's got another one out this week that I downloaded. It's talking about deer eyes and owl ears. It says, deer have amazing hearing thanks in part to their very large ears, which capture the faintest of sounds. Try having children cup their hands behind their ears and notice how different the sounds they can pick up. Ask them to figure out how many sounds they can hear and how far they are off. Similarly, owls have amazing eyesight. In this case, invite kids to soften their vision so they can see as much as possible in multiple directions. Ask them to look straight ahead and move their outstretched hands forward from behind their heads to find the point where their hands first come into view. What is the most distant thing they can see? Then on subsequent outdoor visits, pause once in a while to remind kids to use deer eyes and owl eyes. Deer ears and owl eyes. Here's the music. We'll be back on the other side. Going to go through the calendar of events and hit a little bit of news. Hang on. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. I don't know, did I ever say who I was to be in this? I did say. Okay. So there's no reason to repeat that, right? Okay. Oh, Dave says it. Nobody cares anyway. Let's roll through a few calendar of events for this week. If you're out there right now, there is the National Wild Turkey Federation Outdoor and Adventure Expo is at Cabela's this weekend. Woodruff Road, we were out there last night, had no idea. Well, I knew it was going on, but it didn't hit me until I walked through the door it was going on. I rode out there with my brother, and, we got off 385 or 80. We were on 85 coming south onto the exit ramp there at Woodruff Road. Was it backed up? So it's a toss up how Woodruff Road is going to be, but, there's music, games, auctions, and outfitters out there, looking for something to do this afternoon, tomorrow. It's right here in Greenville at Cabela's. And, of course, turkey season's here. Or actually, it's here in the lower part of the state. It won't be here. It won't be too much longer before it's here in the upstate. But the National Wild Turkey Federation has four of their banquets, fundraising banquets here. You've got the Greenville Wild Turkey is on March 25th, St. George Hellenic Center. That's right down in Academy Street in Greenville. Contact is Richard Lane. Actually, I'm not going to give you the contact. The easiest way to get this is to go to the National Wild Turkey Federation website, look for events in your state, click on South Carolina, look at banquets, and it'll give you all the contact information you could possibly want. But you've got the one March 25th right here in Greenville, South Carolina. On the 26th, you have the Batesburg Leesville Limb Hangers. That's on the 26th. What date's the 26th? I believe that's a... that's 28, Thursday night. Hey, you could fit in a dinner at Sheely's Barbecue if you go to this one. So Batesburg Leesville Limb Hangers on the 26th at TNS Farm. That's on Pond 3500 Pond Branch Road in Leesville, South Carolina. The Pocatello chapter down in Brunson, South Carolina is having their banquet on 328. That's at the county line. And then the Foothills chapter, Anderson Civic Center, on April the 3rd, right there in Anderson, South Carolina. So for all you turkey hunters who really want to get a little more amped up about turkey season, there you go. Take your pick and go to one of your National Wild Turkey Federation events. From the South Carolina State Parks websites, a guided lantern tour of the British Camp Trail. It's over here in Clinton, South Carolina. Grab your lantern or flashlight and join us for an evening in the woods. Travel back in time along the British Camp Trail where you will encounter scenes and figures from the American Revolutionary War in South Carolina. Be guided by a park ranger who will know how to handle these spooky specters. That's at Musgrove Mill Historic Site, March the 28th, 7th and 9 p.m. Registration deadline is March the 25th. That's this coming Wednesday. Moving on down. Of course, next weekend, big weekend in South Carolina. That's the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, March 27th from noon to 8. March 28th from 9 to 7. That's 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. March 29th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's the State Fairgrounds in Columbia. Admission adults, $8. The parking's free. Kids 10 and under are free. This is the big show for the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources. You recall we had Jim Goller on the show to talk about this. He's with the Harry Hampton Foundation. And there is going to be so much there again. There's so much going on. Captain Wild Bill Rokroski will be there. I am waiting to hear back from him. I will be interviewing him for the radio show, which will air next weekend while I'm at the Classic. That's right. Woods and Water South Carolina, along with Outdoor Underwriters, the sponsor of this show, will have a booth there in the Moore Building in the middle. So you have to be sure to stop by and say hello when you go down to the Classic. In fact, you can listen to his interview either coming or going, depending on when you go on Saturday. But there's just so much going on down there. So the kids dig where you come up with seashells or shark's teeth or fossils. The kids fishing pond. Lots of hands-on activities through DNR for the kids. Lots of stuff there for us adults, too. They're going to have tractors and boats and ATVs, duck calls, turkey calls, art. It's a plethora, but it's a great time. So try to make time next weekend. Get down to Columbia, Palmetto Sportsman's Classic. And in conjunction with that, we have Youth Turkey Weigh-In Day. That's going to be at the Palmetto State. That's Saturday, March 28th. If you don't know by now, that is the Youth Day for turkey hunting. And from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Tomo Trailer, they're going to have kids bringing their turkeys, which will be really cool. And there's I was sent a note from Take One, Make One. They are asking for whole turkeys or wild turkey breasts to be donated for their youth turkey clinics that are coming up. If you can help them out with that, you can email Kim Leverich at Leverich, that's L-E-V-E-R-I-C-H-K at dnr.sc.gov, or you can call her down at the Wildlife Department in Columbia. They're putting on a couple of turkey clinics for youth hunters, and they need some donated turkeys for them. The Friends of the NRA are going to have a banquet in Rock Hill Thursday, April the 2nd, starting at 5:30. It's in the Magnolia Room. Your contact is John Parker. His email, jepkr at yahoo.com. Another one from the South Carolina State Parks website, Sunrise Hike at Bald Knob. That's in Pickens. We're going to be an extra early riser and take a unique moonlit hike to Bald Knob Overlook on Pinnacle Trail. After experiencing nocturnal aspects of the forest, we'll hopefully view a partial lunar eclipse from the outcrop as we anticipate the beauty of a new sunrise. Again, that's April the 4th, 3 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock in the morning at Table Rock State Park. Registration deadline's March 31st. And there's something coming up. It's not here in South Carolina. It's in Louisville, Kentucky. But I thought, with all the changes that we're contemplating doing here in South Carolina, this would be a good thing to get out there. It's the 2015 North American Deer Summit. Like I said, it's being held in Louisville, Kentucky. It's open to the public. It's May the 6th through the 8th. The inaugural NDA summit was invitation only. They've opened this one up to the public, deer hunters in particular. And you can actually get on their website, the National Deer Alliance website, find out a whole lot more. But some of the speakers, and it's heavy on speakers, are Kip Adams, Director of Education Outreach at QDMA, Dr. Gary Ault, wildlife biologist and former deer management section supervisor with Pennsylvania Game Commission, Dr. Mike Chamberlain from the University of Georgia, Dr. John Fisher, Southeastern Cooperative Wildlife Disease Study, John Frampton, Council to Advance Hunting and the Shooting Sports, McCannich, President CEO of the Archery Trade Association, Brian Murphy, CEO of Quality Deer Management, and Steve Ranella, Meat Eater TV, outdoorsman, author, and TV host. They're going to be there. It's being held at the Galt House in downtown Louisville, Kentucky. I'll be there. I don't know if I'll be able to stay for the NDA and QDMA are the same few days with a day of overlap on Friday. We do have some changes coming to the deer population. We've all seen it. There are more changes coming, and this is a chance to get ahead of it. So there's your calendar. I'll put that up on the website. You can find that at your convenience. And I think what I'm going to do here is wish a happy birthday here. It's the 100th anniversary of the .30-06 rifle cartridge. And this is from the Sporting Classics Daily. If you want a really neat email in your inbox, go to Sporting Classics, sign up for the Sporting Classics Daily. Some really good articles come through on that thing, and this is one of them. I won't read the whole thing because it's about 10 pages long, but I will hit a few highlights of it. It says, the world's most successful, popular, and versatile hunting cartridge was officially born 100 years ago today. That was on March the 17th. Happy birthday, old-timer. A century is but one exceptional human lifetime, yet 1906 was a long, long time ago. The Wright brothers had gotten off the ground just 3 years before. Perry had yet to reach the North Pole. Most Americans stored their milk in an icebox and drove to work by horse. Henry Ford's Model T wouldn't come along for another 2 years, and here's a good one. The first commercial radio broadcast was another 14 years in the future. Yet there sat the .30-06, bottling up enough energy to flatten everything from rabbits to rhinos. Not only is the venerable .30-06 Springfield still kicking, it's kicking the butts of more modern, efficient, and powerful rounds. It's a perennial leader in ammunition sales and rifle reloading die sales. It's the first cartridge chambered in virtually every known bolt-action big game rifle released. Technically, the .06 wasn't born in 1906 so much as christened after a rapid evolution inspired by the deadly performance of Paul Mauser's 7x57, which took the whole world by stage in 1892 and stole the spotlight when Spanish troops roughed up Teddy Roosevelt's Rough Riders in Cuba 6 years later. It wasn't the cartridge alone, but the rapid-fire bolt-action rifle that impressed the Americans. By 1903, the U.S. military designed not only the Springfield, but a new high-energy round, the Rimless 30-03. And it goes on to talk more and more about the .30-06. It talks about how many Americans learned about it thanks to Uncle Sam. And it's just a really good article. And goes on, and the final paragraph says, perhaps after a century of the .30-06 should bow out gracefully. Virtually everything else from that era has. Only six other cartridges of that age are still produced, most in token quantities, but the .06 can still blow out all its candles in one blast. Hunters the world over still respect it. I doubt it will expire until the last rifle is pried from someone's cold, dead fingers. So happy birthday, old-timers, and many happy returns. Just an interesting birthday in the shooting sports. And that's pretty much it. Chuck Norris for this week. When Bruce Banner gets mad, he turns into Incredible Hulk. When the Incredible Hulk gets mad, he turns into Chuck Norris. And when Chuck Norris gets mad, run. summer camps, check them out. They're good experiences for your kids. You know, not only will they get outside, they'll learn how to deal with other kids, authority figures, outside the home, learn how to keep a cabin clean, and they will get dirty. But hey, that's what kids are supposed to do. And all while under the excellent supervision of counselors and directors that love what they do each summer and want nothing more than to see your kid come back again next year. I'm going to be at a couple of them this year checking them out. Maybe I'll see one of your kids there. Wet, muddy, tired, but all smiles. The Classics next weekend. Wild Bill Rokroski. Some of that good junk food you can get while you're there. So hope to see you there. We'll be in the Moore Building. Stop by and see us. There's James. Get ready for a spring full of the outdoors. Go prepared and be careful while you're out there. Take the back roads when you can. Don't forget the camera. I'll see you next weekend. In my mind.